Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. There's several verses in a row that have no purport, so I'll just read for a little bit. Starting with text 14. This is a conversation between Lord Brahma and Swayambhuva Manu, the first of the 14 Manus, direct son of Lord Brahma, and he appeared along with his wife, and with folded palms he requested some instruction. What is my service? And he was given his service. And now he's asking for his place of residence to carry out his service. Kind of detail, like where should I live? But it's the very dawn of creation and there isn't really anything going on. He just appeared. Of course, he, like Vasudev Krishna, appeared in an adult form or fully matured form, then assumed a childlike form. Swayambhuva Manu also was born as an adult, but there, along with his wife, there wasn't a place. There was just the beginning stages of the universe. There were planets and so forth, but so he's asking for his place of residence. Text 14. Sri Manu said, "Oh, all-powerful Lord, oh, killer of all sins." Now this is Manu. It's not speaking to Brahma. It's not speaking to the personality of Godhead, but on behalf of the personality of Godhead, powerful devotees like Brahma can do many things. "I shall abide by your order. Now please let me know my place and that of the living entities born of me. Oh, master of the demigods, please attempt to lift the earth." It's already the very beginning, early stages, of course. It doesn't say, has there been any passage of time? The answer is there has been passage of time from the time of Manu's birth to that he's now making this request. Whoops, he went out of orbit. That means Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu have been born, which means that Kashyapa has a number of wives. One of them is Diti. And so many things have transpired. Much time and events have transpired. It doesn't detail it. It's giving highlights. "O master of the demigods, please attempt to lift the earth, which is merged in the great water." Maha Ambasi. What's the great water? It's the Garbhadak Ocean. We touched on that yesterday evening, the Garbhadak Ocean. Because it is the dwelling place for all living entities. It can be done by your endeavor and by the mercy of the Lord. Purport, the great water mentioned in this connection is the Garbhadak Ocean, which fills half of the universe. Sometimes it's described when Garbhadakshay Vishnu first appears within the universe, it's a sealed container and it's hot. And so the Garbhadakshay Vishnu perspires. But somehow there's a valve, and when it gets half filled, the valve shuts off and he stops perspiring. The Garbhadak ocean is half of the universe. And then the 14 planetary systems are above that. That is to say, the 14 planetary systems are with of the lotus. A top part of the stem of the lotus is the lotus of Lord Brahma. And then the planetary systems, 14 in number, begin from the middle part of the universe going upward. It's a vertical dimension, that language is used, to depict the structure of the universe. The pole star is above Brahmaloka, and all the planets move circumambulating the pole star. The pole star meaning the abode of Lord Vishnu, Svetadvipa. And it's, the planets are moving, circumambulating, offering their respect to, with their right side or in the clockwise direction, facing Svetadvipa. Anyway, the Earth in that 14 planetary system has fallen out of orbit, because on Earth, Hiranyaksha was drawing gold from different places and putting it all in Lanka for his brother. And because of imbalance, the Earth fell out of orbit into the Garbhadak Ocean. So that's a problem for the controllers of the universe, to have a planet fall out of orbit, or to speak of the residents of planet Earth. And so it was brought to the attention of Brahma by Manu. Text 16. Sri Maitreya said, thus, seeing the earth merged in the water, Brahma gave his attention for a long time how it could be lifted. Purport. According to Jiva Goswami, the topic delineated of different millenniums in this case means different yuga cycles. Prabhupada uses this word millennium in different ways, long duration of time, but in this case it's cycles of yugas or duration of manus. That's another application. The present topics are of the Sweta Varaha millennium. That's the period of Sweta. No, Sweta Varaha is the form of Varaha that appears in a white form. And then there's the Chakshusha Manu, where Lord Varaha appears in reddish form, Rakta Varaha. So, in short, Varaha appears at different times. There's not only one Varaha, there's two, white and red, and they appear at different times. And his point is, Prabhupada's point, or Jiva Goswami's point, is that Shukadeva Goswami is not differentiating. Over here, these are details of the red. Over there, there's details of the white, Varaha. He doesn't differentiate. He merges them into one narration. Now, it doesn't say which one is which, and the scripture reference for Jiva Goswami making this inference, it's not stated. He just states it. Brahma thought, text 17, while I have been engaged in the process of creation, the earth has been inundated by a deluge and has gone down into the depths of the ocean. What can we do who are engaged in this matter of creation it is best to let the Almighty Lord direct us. Purport. The devotees of the Lord, who are all confidential servitors, are sometimes perplexed in the discharge of their respective duties, but they are never discouraged. They have full faith in the Lord, and He paves the way for the smooth progress of the devotees' duties. That's a nice topic. We all sometimes, or more than sometimes, often, become perplexed about very clear assignment of service that we have to do. And, like, for example, fortunately it was really good weather this weekend. But supposing it had been crummy weather this weekend, that would have been perplexing. I mean, probably attendance would have been less. Not probably, definitely. But still, without, you know, if it's abundantly raining outside, now it's even just mild raining, but supposing it was abundantly raining, downpours of rain, what do you do? The families with their children and so on. Space, prasadam preparation, prasadam distribution, you know, so many logistics become amazingly complicated, etc. So many situations can arise that are perplexing. And let's go to the material side. When you're in material consciousness, then it's really easy to become disturbed or discouraged. Oh, I had plan X and now it's going another direction. A phrase that Prabhupada would commonly use in this connection is reversal. It's a visual, for me, it's a visual image. You're going along the path of life. And then the next thing you know, you're going in a different direction. Like, what happened? You didn't put the reverse gear in motion, but you're moving in the opposite direction. But it happens. Good fortune becomes misfortune. Misfortune becomes good fortune. It's the nature of the world of duality. It's sometimes and sometimes. So it's not that if you're a really fantastic devotee like Lord Brahma, that there's no reversals, there's no misfortune, or there's no perplexing situations of life. So what do great souls do? Well, one of the things that not great souls do is they get really fixated on the situation, considering the temporary and forgetting the eternal, and get all involved in, you know, problem solving. Considering that, you know, that the mind become very active, sankalpa vikalpa. You start to make a plan, and even as you're making the plan, you're tearing down the plan and recreating a revised, improved plan, and then that, so, you get on the mental platform, which covers your real intelligence. Material intelligence replaces real intelligence. And you get lost in the temporary. And in that lost in the temporary, you forget who you are, if you get Krishna, and all of those things that go along with material consciousness. So Prabhupada is not elaborating it here, but specifically in one sentence, the devotee doesn't become discouraged. That is to say, they don't forget Krishna, because if you forget Krishna, then you're covered with Maya or by Maya, and you can't see anything properly. Even if you think you see something properly, you're not seeing something properly. And then you act on what you think you're seeing properly, and sure enough, you weren't seeing properly. And then you have to adjust that one and have to adjust that one, and off we go. Or one becomes, using this word, discouraged. The modern word is depressed. Oh, da 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 da. Different ways that that take, or just a milder, just negative emotion. We become absorbed in a negative emotion, or maybe overwhelmed by a negative emotion. So it's just very simple language, Prabhupada, that the devotee doesn't become discouraged. That is, here we are. We were going this way, and now we're going that way. And it wasn't part of the plan, but we're definitely not going the way we were going before. And so I'm not discouraged. There's some way that I will be given some opportunity to be of service to Krishna in this circumstance, this reversal circumstance. It's an opportunity, a different opportunity to serve Krishna than the plan that I had of how I was intending to serve Krishna. So you just adjust yourself to the plan that, or the circumstance that Krishna is placing before you. And it intensifies, for the devotee, it intensifies turning attention to the Supreme Lord. It's fantastic. You know, externally it can look horrible, but internally it looks fantastic, or it is fantastic. That anything that strengthens attention and focus on the personality of Godhead, that's fantastic. But to see it as fantastic depends upon consciousness, not upon the circumstance. Yeah, that's a nice lesson, and it's easy to say, and it's another thing to do, but that's a life of devotion, is to learn that one. And we're hearing in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam of how Brahma processed that. I mean, imagine the news. The Earth planet just fell out of orbit. Well, the news would be out of orbit too. So much for the internet, and so much for the, you know, the media and the people that are beating the drum about all the bad things that are happening. The Earth fell out of orbit, and it's at the bottom of the Garbhodak Ocean. So, what to speak of the living entities, that whatever living entities by that time were inhabiting the Earth planet. What to speak of the living entities, even the planet itself. So, Brahma is now, along with not getting absorbed in the negative, it's not like it was a positive emotion. Hey, great, the Earth just fell. It's a point of concern. It needs attention. Didn't become discouraged, redoubled his attention upon the personality of Godhead, and I'm ready to be an instrument or whatever you feel is best to rescue the earth. It's not so dissimilar, it's quite similar to Mother Earth going to the demigods, going to Lord Brahma about the overburden of the earth with demoniac kings. Now the earth is not just because we're inhabitants of earth, but it's a special place. It's described elsewhere in the Bhagavatam that this earth planet is especially favorable for spiritual progress in the human form of life. Why? Because the lower planetary systems, too much suffering. Higher planetary systems, too much enjoyment. You know, like the super rich people on this planet. How genuinely spiritually inclined are they? Generally, there's certainly the other kind, but speaking, they got there by piety, but they're really absorbed in enjoying the fruits of their activity. Like, you know, when people go on expensive vacations, people that have money go on expensive vacations. Costs a lot of money to go to expensive places. And are they thinking, oh, let's go to this nice, I mean, some pious people do this. I know a family that's presently doing this, traveling to places that have wonderful deity worship, etc., etc., etc. But many people that have wealth, you know, are they going to Hawaii or Goa to, like, do some puja? They're going to those places to be enjoyers. Without going into it too much. It's the nature of the fruits of piety are often used for increased standard of sense gratification. And when that piety runs out, just as Krishna says, one descends back to this earth planet. So to be in the earth planet, it's not too nice. It's not a heavenly planet. And that's good. And it's not a hellish planet, although there's certainly some hellish features of this earth planet. But it's a good place to go beyond up, to go to transcendence. Specifically, Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam purport, in this age of Kali, because of the good fortune of the Yuga Dharma of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, demigods, Prabhupada writes, they're standing in line to take birth on earth so they can come here and now they could go to Goloka from the heavenly planets. But, you know, this is not so likely. Too busy enjoying or warding off the difficulties that do come. The demons are coming. Uh-oh. Death is coming. Uh-oh. Something. The fourfold miseries. Excuse me, threefold. Adiatmika, Adidaivika, Adibhautika, Kleshas. So, that's everywhere. But so the earth planet is a special place in the picture of the universe. Now, heavenly planets and above the heavenly planets, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Brahmaloka, they're very special too. But this earth planet it's a springboard, it's an opportunity to go to the spiritual world without distraction. But the distraction comes from absorption in the temporary instead of absorption in the capacity that human form of life has. So that, you know, that's, we're in that place. We're in the earth planet in the human form of life with the mercy of disciplic succession. Think about it. How many people do you know don't have disciplic succession, but they're pious? There's not a lot of super pious people, but of those people that are pious, how many have disciplic succession to get a clear and correct understanding of things? And those are just people you know, but you know, become a sannyasi for a while and travel around and hear different people with their different ideas. And it, man. And the internet doesn't make it easier to make the right selection, because the internet people are really busy giving misinformation, and people get loaded up with misinformation. Just anecdotal. Just yesterday, I was in Milwaukee for the middle part of the day before I came here for the evening program. And I had three conversations with people that knew something about China, because like one was a young girl and she knew about the Moon Festival. Because the Moon Festival is the same Purnima that we speak about, Bhadra Purnima. It's mentioned in the 12th canto Bhagavatam. In China, the same Purnima is called, they have another festival, the Moon Festival or Mid-Autumn Festival. And I asked if anybody knows about it. And one girl, you know, 8 or 9 years old, said, I do. I said, how do you know? Because my friends in school, my Chinese friends in school, they've told me about it. And so I said, you know, you'd really surprise your friends in school if you made some mooncakes. And they can give you the recipe for making mooncake, and you can practice and then distribute mooncakes to your friends. And in fact, if you want, you can have a Hare Krishna festival for Bhadra Purnima together with the Mid-Autumn Festival for the Chinese kids, and they can do their Chinese song and dance, and you can do kirtan and speak Bhagavad Gita and distribute mooncakes offered to Krishna. Wouldn't that be cool? Her eyes got really big. But many people, my experience is, they don't really know what it is. All they know what it is the tradition of families get together and do family stuff. That's what you do at the Mid-Autumn Festival and the distribute mooncakes. I mean, there's some other history, but most people don't know, because I've discovered that because I've asked them. They don't know. They just know the social. They don't know what's behind it. Then as I was sharing that, there was somebody that was like older than this young girl that shared with me during Prasadam that there are teenagers that they know that it's a popular thing. This is all like current sociology stuff. But at least previously, now what's going on between China and India may, China and America may change all this, but wealthy families in China value having their kids, high school age kids, do study abroad in high school in America, stay at an American family home. They pay a bunch of money to get a high school education so they can get into a college in America, come back to China and make a lot of money, because it's valued to have a college education in America. So they start in the high school age. It's very common. I don't know if you're aware of that. So somebody that's a high school kid said, most of these teenagers that come from China, they already have a Catholic idea, because they're, you know, evangelically inclined, Protestants and Catholics in China. Those were two of the five recognized religions. They make a differentiation between Catholicism and Christianity rather than say, or, excuse me, Catholicism and Protestant faith. All this is detailed, but they've already got an understanding that makes it hard for them, for this teenager to help young people from China get a picture of Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's message, which they'd like to do because these kids are smart. But they've already, many of them, according to their experience, already have this, like, Catholic idea, not just a Christian idea, but a Catholic idea. And then another gentleman seemed to know, like an educated gentleman, told me the whole story separately, but there's a Sanskrit text called Amitabha Sutras or something, and one Indian man translated the Sanskrit sutras into Chinese because the most popular brand of Buddhism in mainland China today is Amitabha Buddha's thing, Pure Land Buddhism. It's a long story, won't go into it. But that's not what Buddha taught. Gautama Buddha didn't teach that one. So it's really confusing. You know, even to help people understand what does Bhagavad Gita say in contrast with what Buddha said, brands of Buddha. And there's so many brands of Bhagavad Gita for people to understand Bhagavad Gita if they want to know what Bhagavad Gita is. From China or from India or from America. Like, so we're so fortunate. We didn't have to go through all that forest of which is real. Now, to some degree, we all went through something because it took, probably for most of us, took a while, unless, you know, your children are born into devotee families, and then they have to go through the thing of, do I want to be part of the Hare Krishna movement when I grow up? It's like a youth decision. I'm digressing a little bit, but Mukunda and Shruti, when they were planning this summer youth retreat, that was the theme, because their experiences, there are lots of young people in our congregations, not just here, all over. The kids aren't really sure, you know, how much they discuss with mom and dad, who knows, but they certainly discuss with their friends. They're not really sure. Do they want to live this lifestyle? Now, when they go through that exercise and come out the other end that, yes, this is what I want to do, then, you know, they're good. They're good because they've been trained since childhood with all the fundamentals. But it's not easy, in part because of material desire and in part because there's so many options out there, it's confusing. Maybe not take birth again. Because even if you're in a devotee family, it can be really confusing. It doesn't get less confusing with the advance of Kali. It becomes more. So, back to the purport. We're in this very fortunate situation. And even in this most fortunate situation, we struggle more than we really need to struggle. And one of the things that can help us become free from that struggle is this message of Srimad Bhagavatam, getting a clear picture of how this great personality, I mean, what does Swayambhuva Manu do? He went to Brahma. What did Brahma do? He didn't get depressed. He didn't get discouraged. He didn't get distressed. He didn't lose his Krishna consciousness. He regarded the situation, which was really bad. The earth fell out of orbit to the bottom of the Garbhodak Ocean. And this is, if there's some way that I can be of assistance, then the Lord needs to indicate that. Otherwise, it seems that it's a task that he needs to do. So, and surely he'll protect his devotees. That was not like, no, okay, Lord Vishnu, report for duty, please. It's time to go do something. It's not like that. He's not our order supplier. We're his servant, and if there's some way we can... So, how to respond to reverses. There's lots of messages like this in the Bhagavatam, and we can learn, at least have the equipment, have the tools to know how to. And so still people ask how to, and it's to read the Bhagavatam, you'll know how to. But then it's not just even having the tools, it's applying the tools. I'll just share this one thing and I'm going to end. A lecture at 26 Second Avenue, summer. Doesn't say what month. Just says summer of 1966. Srila Prabhupada was speaking, from Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 at 26 Second Avenue. And he was describing, well, two main things. The Brahma-Bhuta stage. Brahma-Bhuta stage is understanding what's in chapter 2. Brahma-Bhuta stage, Brahma-Bhuta prasanatma. I know that I'm not this body. So it's good to know that you're not the body. And then Prabhupada was adding on, but how do you act in the consciousness that you're not the body? Because theoretical knowledge is not enough. So we have no disagreement. We are a spirit soul. Prabhupada was using the phrase at 26 Second Avenue in 1966 of consciousness. We are consciousness. Then he was saying super consciousness. Didn't even say Paramatma or Vishnu or Krishna. Super consciousness. Unless we connect ourselves with super consciousness, then it remains theoretical only. And what is connecting with super consciousness look like? What is it? The explanation he went into was Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. So we have our senses, and out there, they're sense objects. The sense objects are the property of Vishnu. So we engage our senses with sense objects to serve the master of the senses. And unless we do that, it remains theoretical. I'm not the body. And theoretical only, or more explicitly, more realistically, is it's that we don't live by, because we're absorbed in temporary. And, you know, very honestly speaking, largely devotees live their lives that way. We don't object to the philosophy, but we don't live it. We don't practically apply our senses with objects of the senses in the service of the master of the senses. There's a mix, we do certainly, but there's a mix of being the enjoyer of the objects of the senses. And that's taken as happiness. And as long as we have that picture of happiness, we're forgetful of who we really are, consciousness, and the supreme consciousness. If we get our Krishna consciousness, it becomes covered. So we're not there yet. It's not like shame on you all or shame on me. We're not there yet. And the message of the Bhagavatam is like the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, meant to cleanse the heart and take us there. More than notionally, theoretically, conceptually, but to live our lives accordingly. And one of the big tests, as well as big opportunities, for living your life according to Krishna consciousness is reversals. Like, unfortunate things, misfortune that comes your way. You know, terrible. And fantastic. Because it's an opportunity to get real about our Krishna consciousness and address ourselves in Krishna consciousness to life. And when that misfortune subsides, it commonly becomes complacency, back business as usual. What's out there in the field of the sense objects to be the enjoyer of? The tendency. See? The mood of service is so special, and that mood of service is what Brahma has. And because of that, he becomes the instrument of the solution. He doesn't do the solution. He becomes the instrument. From one of his nostrils comes Lord Varaha. Just while he's contemplating on Vishnu and the problem, the misfortune that's come to the universe. And he cares about the universe like we care about the world and our families and the people around us and things. Then that concern, without deviating from Krishna consciousness, means we are become then, at least the opportunity is there to be an instrument for the solution. Without being caught in some negative emotion about the misfortune. Very practical. See if there's any discussion.
This example of Lord Brahma in this perplexed situation is very inspiring, Guru Maharaj. I was just thinking that when a service is there and then I don't keep up, it becomes perplexed for me. And then one side of it is that it becomes humbling and so it's nice. But at the same time, I feel that the service is struggling because I'm just for me to become humble, all these things are happening. How do I... What is it that is missing in me that, in which way can I avoid the service becoming held up because of?
Because of what?
The thing that caught when you spoke about was like, when perplexities come, getting onto mental platform and planning and replanning and replanning again happens, and then out of all this replanning, one thing that I'm gaining is that some level of it's humbling. It's like the heart is becoming softer, that I don't have capacity unless Krishna gives me. That kind of connection with Krishna is happening. But at the same time, this mental platform takes over when I think about the service is struggling, and how do I, I'm not able to keep up that kind of a thing. I don't know.
Just do the last part. Your question, say it slower. Just the last part. Not the frame, but the question. You got it? What's their question?
The service is held up, like during this process.
Yeah.
The service is held up.
I think I got it too. I'm given some service by Krishna's mercy. I'm attempting to do the service and something goes wrong. And in while regarding the something that's going wrong and how to make it go better or right, I'm in this space that I'm not getting the service done, I'm just processing back and forth with my mind, and then I get in this anxiety that says the service isn't being done. And how do I deal with that anxiety that the service isn't being done? because it's interfering with getting the service done, the anxiety, as well as the time spent in going back and forth and back and forth. That's it? Okay. One of my godbrothers, Bunny Ryan Swami, has a phrase that he uses a lot, and his phrase is, act in haste, lament in leisure. So it's not the standard of doing service in Krishna consciousness is not hurry up and do the service. Because as the, through the passage of time, the service not getting done, you're doing a disservice. That's a misconception. Speed is the standard of success. You're a good devotee if you do things fast. No, not the other way around. So then, leisurely stroll down the path of devotional service and do things, you know, complacently and with luxury of time. And not that either. But it sometimes takes some time to become clear how to address a situation that needs attention, get right or wrong attention. And, that's an interesting quote from Bhadi Narayan Swami, because he's one of those persons that his intelligence moves like lightning. And most of the rest of us, me in particular, go like a turtle, not like lightning. And so it's a challenge to be with a person that's like, they've already got the solution even before you understand what the whole problem is. And they're impatient just to offer the solution. They cut you off. Because, you know, their intelligence is really sharp. And you know, if there's another type of person, I can't just be obedient to the intelligent person and shut my intelligence off. I have to understand the situation carefully. And, you know, maybe just fine. It may not just be fine. It may be, so, speed is not the standard of, yet on the other hand, some things need swift attention. You can't just dilly-dally. You have to do something in certain situations. Without giving examples. You say, I don't know, child protection or, you know, something. You can't just like, well, what's the best way to... You have to intervene. And learn from the experience how to do that in a refined, better manner. But, you know, something needs to be done. So, in certain circumstances... And so the recommendation is maybe a few things. Continue to rely on Krishna like anything, because I recognize my limited capacity to understand the right way to handle a situation like this. I need to become more Krishna conscious. That's an internal step. Pausing to seek greater clarity or indication from Krishna, from Super Soul, what's the best way to handle such, you know, this opportunity of service for you? You practice that in life, and it does move more quickly. I mean, it's not the same as a motor skill, but learning to drive a car, you know, when you're first learning to drive a car, it's that person is a dangerous person behind the wheel because they don't know exactly how to operate the wheel and the gas pedal and the brake pedal. And it's that for the driver, that a novice driver is awkward, and for the people on the road is dangerous. Look out, here comes a novice driver. So, but with motor skills, gradually, you know, it becomes more natural, becomes, you're not like check out, but it becomes, you know, much simpler. So, that's a motor skill, but not so dissimilar as this principle of relying upon Krishna. Am I supposed to end now? Well, our pujari is ready to blow the conch. Let me just finish this sentence. And lost. Huh? Well, yeah. By practice of relying upon, this is the second element, by practice of relying upon Krishna, then the path becomes more clear of going to Krishna in those circumstances and the reciprocation from Krishna. Of course, it's up to him timeline-wise, but it's more accessible. Our Krishna consciousness becomes higher and Krishna reciprocates commonly more quickly when we're Krishna consciousness, our Krishna connection is stronger. A third option is you ask somebody that's not in the middle of the circumstance and you have some recommendation. Because perhaps, because you're in the middle of the circumstance and feeling perplexed, that your power of discrimination has become perplexed or reduced or muddled. So if somebody that's experienced in a particular field is consulted, they may know very quickly. Okay, so we'll end there. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you.